it's something that we should be looking at as young dads, you know, that we shouldn't be talking down on our kids as they're growing up. It's something that we should be teaching them, that, you know, it's the same thing I try to teach my son, that, you know, when you want something, you shouldn't be crying for it. Talk to me. I should be your friend. And that's what I would like, the type of relationship I want to have with him, is when he grows older, he shouldn't feel like I am talking down on him, that he can't talk to me, because that's when you start realizing the fears of having to, you know, ask someone certain things or speak to someone about certain things.
Hi, my name is Gabo Legora, and my guest today is Austin Malema. Man, you guys might know him as a dude that takes photos of famous people. I just know him as a friend and as a fellow dad, and we're going straight into it. Gabo here, all talking about dads, fathers, men, and today my guest is in South Africa, probably known as the most famous photographer. He's been in newspapers. He's trended a lot of times. I'm trying to be a hype man here. But he goes by the name of Austin Malema. What's
up,
bro?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes,
how
sir.
Are you doing?
I'm easy.
We've known each other for so long, and this is one of the first times we're actually talking about being dads. Because
Come on now.
It's weird. All the other times is when you have to leave my house or we have to leave a meeting place, and then you're like, oh no, I gotta go be a dad now.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting dynamic to be like, you'll see where we're gonna go with this.
Yeah.
We met on the gram.
Yes, we met on the gram, and then proceeded to, you know, meet in person at an Insta meet.
Yes.
And then, yeah.
Was it the one in Mawuneng?
Yes, it was.
The famous one in Mawuneng, bro. I think that, like, yeah, that connected a lot of photographers back then.
Very true. Very
true. That was interesting time.
Yeah.
Fast forward, bro. You're a dad now.
Yeah. 4 years later, you know, I have a 4-year-old son who is just an amazing human being. And funny thing about it, you're talking about it now, I just got a call from his mom, and his friend knocked his tooth loose at school. So
did you have a moment, bro, like when you heard
I got scared when I saw the call, the call from her. It was like a missed call because my phone was misbehaving, so I just saw a thing that says they said he tried to call you, and I'm like, damn, I know it's about my son. I always worry when she tries to call me like around these hours, because I don't know what's
like
going
odd
on.
Hours. Yeah.
Well, they're not really odd hours, but like, it's like, what's going on at this hour? Like, she hasn't picked him up, so something must be wrong. So yeah.
Is he fine?
He's good. He's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, your boy has been a meme.
Yeah.
If this was like a video vibe thing, I would like put up a screenshot now.
And everybody would know the meme. So one of like many memes. But he is the child.
How did that feel?
It was great in the beginning. I felt like, you know, like at least there's something great, like someone's more famous than me in the family. But I think later on, when people started using his memes like for sexual connotations and stupid things, kind of like hurt me, because I'm like, how can you not think about this?
This is
a child, and you guys are making sexual connotation using a child. Like, are you just like stupid, or you just don't care?
Feel you.
Crazy,
bro. I mean. It's one thing to know you, and I think it's also another thing for those that don't know you, because from the outside in, I kind of like have a picture of your profile.
Yeah.
Right? But from me, it's like, okay, this is Austin, photographer.
Yeah.
And businessman. And now he became a dad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To this young boy. But now that other dynamic of the grandparents, bro. I'm not touching on it as if it's a call to fame or anything. But it's a real dynamic.
It is a real dynamic.
I'm sure like people have asked you about the Fergusons being like your son's
grandparents.
Grandparents.
Yeah.
I think how's that no, Let me ask you a different question, because I know people have asked you, like, how does it feel and everything? Let me ask you a different...
I don't know. I can't, you know, I can't explain how it feels to anyone. Like,
sure.
We'll deal with this question first and then the next. Like, I can't really explain how it feels because that's what I know.
Yeah.
So...
Yes, I get you.
If there was something else, then I'd explain, like, this is how it feels. But, you know, knowing the type of people they are, I'm always inspired because they like really great business people. So for me, it's what inspires me. They like part of the people who inspire me, the people I look up to. And because also their success came in at a late part of their lives. So that's one thing that I've learned as well.
Damn, that's actually profound. No, I actually just thought, like, when did I see Karabo Morocco on screen? I'm like,
You might have seen her, like, on TV for the longest time, but I think later on in, like, in her late 30s, 40s, that's when her success really boomed,
100%, I agree. But now, like, you're a dad.
Yeah.
Now you're a famous dad.
Or rather, famous child.
Let me not say you're a famous dad. You are well known.
Yes.
In what you do.
Yes.
Right? For a lot of reasons.
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And bro, I'm fascinated because like the times that we've been and side note is that he's also my business partner.
Yeah.
So like that there was that day, bro, when we had that meeting, and
my son was there. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, bro, and I could see that you were just like all over the place in your head. You're like, boy, I need to get you some McD's.
Yeah.
At the same time, I need to like have the meeting.
Because I have to discipline a child and still tell him that dad is going into a meeting and still get him his food. It's crazy, you know. You never really know, because I've never really spent like a lot of time with my son alone now that he's older. Like when he was younger, we did spend a lot of time. But now that he's older, like he hadn't like really spent a lot of time with me alone, right? And like learning these things and figuring out how hard it is for his mom, you know, to be like telling him to go to bed, even the very same night, you know, I learned how difficult it is to try control him, you know, because I'm like, bro, it's time for us to go to bed now. And he's like, nah, he still wanted to watch cartoons until like 10 p.m. And I'm like, yo, this is bad. Like, you know, if I don't control it right now, I'm going to be the bad dad who lets their child like watch cartoons until
late. I mean, I think probably just for context, so those that are listening, is that you're a single dad.
Me and his mom separated.
Yes,
and
that's what I mean.
We still have a great relationship. So it's just that like there was a point that we felt he was too young to spend time with me because of what was on my schedule. So now that he's a bit older and he can take care of himself and I can help on certain things and he can express himself, it's a lot easier for me to have him for longer.
Bro, I think, you know, being man, I'm really like inspired, like, and I guess motivated by your decision to actually be present for him, because I think the norm back then, it's slightly changing as we go now, is like dads were gone.
I think,
you know, they were not gone. They were just not present. They would provide, but they were not present.
I kind of understand like what it is, but
yeah,
you know, for me it's also very similar. I had like my dad was a part-timer, to be honest. He was not really present and not really supportive. I don't know what the dynamics were between him and my dad, right? But I just feel like today's generation, there are still those who are not present in their kids' lives, right? But a lot of younger people, younger black men are taking part or they're taking up the responsibility of being a dad and without being afraid, you know? And I used to say, like, you know, back then there were different dynamics, you know, probably like you didn't have the money to be in the child's life. You know, as a young black man, I always feel like if I can't provide for the household, you're kind of like a disappointment. And I feel like that's probably what gave those people like the opportunity to run away, because if I can't provide, then I'm going to be judged.
But no, you know? Like, I mean, it's for me, I think that's a big problem.
You
kind of like have to take a step back to the root of this thing.
Yeah.
of, okay, then what? How do you define yourself as a dad? What, like, to you,
man,
what is a dad? What is a father then? Because is a father the guy that provides the income in the house and that's it?
Yeah.
Or is the father or dad, whatever you want to call it, the guy or the person in the house that has a role of nurturing you, that has a role of grooming you, that has a role of, yes, providing for you?
Yeah.
Because I think that you know, the whole, the term of saying bringing bread or putting bread on the table was like, that's the old school mentality back in the day where, you know, dads were miners.
Yeah.
And they'd be gone for a long time. And then we know that they were going to make money and they were going to make sure that they can bring something to the table.
Yeah.
Because the mothers were not working.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, and I'm glad that you're saying that, like, it's changing and the young black man today is trying to make a difference. But I think that's because he understands the pain.
I think most of us do understand the pain. I think, you know, before, I'll answer your question. Like, before I became a dad, I always knew that I wanted to be a dad that's always going to be present in my child's life,
sure,
no matter what happens. You know, it was a choice that I made before I even met Lisedi. And I always knew that no matter what happens, even if I was a single dad, if the mom decided to, like, leave the child in my hands, that would have been, like, even a greater thing. Because I've always looked up to Eminem, and people don't seem... Some people always ask why. But if you look at Eminem's life, he can rap crazy about everything in his life, but he never lets anything come in between him and his kids.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one thing that I really admired about him. He always put his kids first in the stuff that would happen in his life and tried to protect them from any bad thing or them seeing him in a bad light.
So kind of like he'll take the knock before
he even gets to the kids. Sure. So that's the one thing. And I think being a dad really is about nurturing more than providing, because you're not really a dad. You're just supplying, or like giving the money for supplies for me to be able to live life.
Sure.
You're not teaching me anything.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing about parents or being a real dad or being a parent is about nurturing me into being a better man.
Yes.
You know, or a better son.
Sure.
So that I can be a better son to be a better man later in life.
Mm.
And that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I just rate that a lot of people, you can pay for all the things that you want, but if you're not in your child's life, what are you teaching them?
I agree, bro.
A lot of people you can be there paying for the fees, whatever, but another man will teach your child how to be a dad. Would you like that?
Bro.
When someone else teaches your child how to be a man because of what they know instead of what you know.
I
teach my child how to be a man because of what I know, because you are blood of my blood. Why must I let someone from outside teach you while I am available? If I'm not, then that's fine. But if I am there and I have the opportunity to be present in your life, I should be teaching you. It should be my responsibility. And even if me and your mom are not together and your mom gets remarried or she's with someone else, that person can teach you how to be a man, and you've got two dads to learn from.
Yeah.
You know, that's an opportunity for you to grow and be a better man.
Preach, bro.
But yeah.
Preach, bro.
That's it.
But in view of what you're saying, like, it might be a deep question, but let me know. It's like, what do you feel like is the difference between then you and your dad?
I think, I don't know, man. I think my dad was probably just not ready to be a dad, or he just ran away from his responsibility for whatever reasons he's got. That's a question I should be asking him, actually. But I feel like for me, I just never wanted to have a child, like, living there without, like, knowing who their dad is and just providing, you know. Providing is nothing. What we all need is emotional stability, someone to fall back on, someone to ask the hard questions.
Bro.
You know, money does not, like, answer the questions. Money will just stop me from asking the questions.
Like, you know, sorry, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, you're taking me back to, I think there was a point when I was still in high school where, you know, you start becoming like a bit more aware of things.
Yeah.
Like at that point, like what's a bit amiss in the house.
In the house.
Like, I'm just like, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, at some point I was just like, I spent a lot more time with my mother than I did with my father.
Yeah.
Not because that was my preference, but that's because that was that's who was present.
Yeah.
Not to say my father wasn't present. He so, you know, there's this thing where they say that he's there, but he's not there.
Yeah.
So my dad was a lecturer, then went into like education. So like education was a thing. Like
for him.
So
yeah.
Provide 100%, but it was all like, it was the books, bro. It was about, listen, you got to get the money.
Yeah.
And you got to get the job. You got to work hard now so that you get the job, because this is what is going to define you as a man.
Yeah, but.
But, and what you're saying about the emotional stability is that when I, you know, generally you grow up, you have a lot of questions as a dude that
yeah, only men can answer.
Okay, I don't want to say it that way because...
you can say men, right. It's the men present in your life, but the things that you need your dad to guide you through.
There's a specific way that a man communicates with a man.
Yes.
Not to say that a woman can't tell you about puberty, but I'm saying that a man just has the experience as a man.
Yeah.
Just to give it some context. And I'm saying that now, you know, back then I was just like, yeah, damn. Like, I mean, I could draw some things from my dad. But at some point I remember someone saying that you need to understand what was his dynamic with his dad.
Yeah.
And because he only draws from a point of reference of like, how do I, like, what kind of dad can I be based on the dad that I had.
Yeah.
And now, if you don't have a dad,
what
reference do you have? You can only draw from like society, your uncles, and
society will not pull you back into place. You know, society will let you be what they think you want to be, instead of someone who knows what a real man should be or what a real dad should be, who will nurture you and show you the ropes and say, "Look, I know you want to do this, son, but maybe try to do it this way because I see the way you're going and it might lead you astray," you know. And that's one of the biggest things that we all miss, or a lot of people in society don't understand, that, you know, they say daughters grow up to be like their mothers. What about sons? Why can't we grow up to be like our fathers? You know, fathers who are present. Yeah. When we say that, we also have to remember that there are those who are bad examples.
Sure.
And then there are those who are great examples. Yeah. And I think that's why women always refer to daughters growing up to be like their mothers, because mothers always nurture, you know, they're always there.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, they pride themselves in that phrase because mothers are always present and fathers not.
I think, like, I'm sitting on this thing a bit as well. It's like, I know that sometimes not all homes or not every single guy or son or daughter grows up without a father.
Yeah.
And the dynamic of he's not there is actually a reality for a lot more people than we think.
Yeah.
I use my dad as an example. He's great. He's a great man, great dude. But I realized that I only started relating and building some form of stronger relationship when I was older.
Yeah.
I was saying this in one of the other episodes, is that when it looked like we were almost on the same level.
Yeah.
When I got a job, when I got married.
Yeah.
I remember when I had my firstborn, my son.
Yeah.
I remember there's one day he called me, he's like,
Now you're a man. Yeah.
And then I was like, no, bro. No. Like, I mean, like, but no.
Yeah.
But the dynamic between us changed.
Changed at that time,
It was almost as if, like, we're on the same level.
Now you can almost speak to him in
bro,
like, at the same level.
Yeah. And that's when I felt like, yo, I needed this long ago, bro. Like,
yeah.
Not to say you're coming late to the plate. I'm willing to build this thing, but this is great. What I now know and how we're interacting now feels a lot better, and I feel like I wish it was back then.
I feel like a lot of that happens a lot with I might just say it's a black parent thing and not just your dad thing. I feel like when I had my son too, my mom and I could now like level the playing field in terms of conversation. She couldn't talk down on me. She would listen to me more, you know. And I just feel like it's very weird. And it's something that we should be looking at as young dads, you know, that we shouldn't be talking down on our kids as they're growing up. It's something that we should be teaching them that, you know, it's the same thing I try to teach my son that, you know, when you want something, you shouldn't be crying for it. Talk to me. I should be your friend. And that's what I would like, the type of relationship I want to have with him is when he grows older, he shouldn't feel like I am talking down on him, that he can't talk to me, because that's when you start realizing the fears of having to, you know, ask someone certain things or speak to someone about certain things. That's where they're developed, you know. You can't ask your dad about certain things because your dad talks down on you and he doesn't want to listen to you or give you an opportunity to present yourself or your arguments.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something that we've all been taught as young people. But, you know, with that, there's also another side of people saying, but why would you want to be having a conversation with your kids when they should be listening to you?
Sure.
But it's like,
it's a sense of pride, bro.
It is a sense of pride, because if we want to raise a generation of kids who understand what life is like and how we want them to grow
the
up,
to talk.
Give them the platform to talk and express themselves.
Respectfully
and,
so, yeah.
Yeah, and it creates a dynamic of respect between the parents and the kids, that, you know what, my dad will give me the opportunity to tell him what I think. And by doing that, you need to teach them the right way of doing it, instead of, you know, throwing tantrums or creating fear out of your kids.
I'm curious, bro.
Yeah.
Like, now that you see, I'm understanding just your dynamics a bit better. But now I'm like, where are you drawing your references from? Like, do you have like figures in your life that you feel like you can speak to about where you are now in life? So, I mean, like, I think about, how's your dynamic with Shona?
I think he's probably one of the key roles in being for me and my son, because him and his kids, like, they have conversations. That's what it is. It's not about talking down on them or trying to tell them that I am the dad. No, they express, they talk. It's not a screaming match. It's not a, you know, a tantrum thing. It's a real conversation about what is happening and how it is happening.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where I learned certain things when I started dating Lesedi and saw how her and her parents' relationship was.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those cool relationships, but not like disrespect me cool, but it's like cool that we're cool.
So like,
it's kind of like we are young together, even though they're your parents,
but
we're still young together and we will listen to you and take part in what's happening in your life and know what's happening in your life. But don't disrespect us, because we kind of like your friends.
So, Shona, for those that are listening, Shona means Shona Ferguson. And that's his son's grandfather.
Yeah.
I've seen them, bro. I've seen your stories. I follow
Shona. And that's the thing.
I love the dynamic, bro. I really love the way that he interacts with his kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not rigid.
It's not.
You can feel when a dad is like tense and it's like pulling that bubble corner vibe. But he's free.
Yeah. My son, when you watch him interact with my son, you'll see that like, They playful. It's not that like playful as in like just granddad. It's like a granddad who's present but who's gonna let you have fun with them and not try say, no, you can't do 1, 2, 3, because they will tug back and say you can't do 1, 2, 3, but give you proper reasons and not just say, no, you can't do 1, 2, 3, which doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
So that's I really enjoy that. Like I love watching relationships like that. With parents and grandparents, because it just shows, man, like the easier it is to talk to the elders around you, the more you learn and the better you become a person, the more expressive you are.
Sure.
And I believe that's the type of generation we should be trying to create, of expressive kids, not this thing of kids who can't tell us what they feel, what they think, because they fear how we're going to react.
So, bro, I've experienced your schedule. That is the best way I can actually like put it. I've experienced your schedule.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of the things that I like when me and my wife and I were talking about how many kids are we gonna have.
Yeah.
One of my biggest things with the number, if it felt like it was too high,
yeah.
My biggest reason was time. And I remember telling her, I'm like, she comes from a big family.
Yeah.
A lot of siblings. With me is just me and my little sister.
Yeah.
And so I understand, like even with me and my sister, it's like, hey, our parents were barely like, it looked like they were barely surviving, you know? And then, so I remember with my wife, I was just like, yo, listen, I don't want a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to give each one, not just like time, but just like, you know, when you give someone your capacity, bro, that's a big thing. That's a bit different. That's a stronger way to put it. It's like just, time I can create to some degree, but capacity, like emotionally.
I got you.
And financially, it's a thing. So like, and so now I wonder, like with you, bro, like your schedule and your kid, bro. And I'm like, I'm sure time is a freaking commodity for you.
It is. But I just believe, you know, all the things that I'm doing is for him, you know, and for his future. Whenever I have a moment of free time, I will give it to him all. I will give him all my time. But it becomes that thing, and it might sound like I'm making excuses for always being busy, but if we had to be honest about it, is like life is what it is right now. We get given what we've got and we've got to build with what we have, you know, and I don't want my child to struggle later on in life, you know, and I'm trying to balance that. Look, daddy's a working man and daddy will give you time to spend time with him. You know, we will have our own time where we bond and do what you want to do, okay? Yeah. But when daddy's at work, he is at work, because what I'm trying to build is a life where he can live as lavish as he wants off his dad, because, you know, it's that pride thing that, you know, dad is coining it. And I never want my child to struggle. So I actually just want him to get everything that he could, like stuff that I never dreamed that I'd have, you know. So I want him to have the life that I didn't dream I would have, or I am still dreaming to have. But I want him to be like, you know, when I'm 21 or when I finish high school, I can take a year off and go travel the Americas or, you know, Europe, because my dad has provided for me before I decide what I want to do.
Bro, so, I remember when I joined Mikasa.
Yeah.
And bro, like the first 2 years, like I had my son the first year I joined Mikasa.
Yeah.
And the first 2 years, the traveling was just insane, bro. Like
But it teaches you to treasure those moments that you spend with them.
I remember coming back home and feeling like quality time is amazing. It's like,
it is.
Like I had a different value for time.
For time, yeah.
Because you just realize how little time you have. But at some point, I realized that I was missing certain moments in his life that I was just like, I'm not, okay, I need to take a pause here because... Yeah. So this is I personally have a big issue with this thing, bro. It's like, we are taught as men or as fathers that work comes first.
Yeah.
This is a big thing, bro. And I think this is what perpetuates a lot of things in...
It goes back to what you were talking about being a provider.
Do you get what I'm saying, bro? And we, like subconsciously, we're not like, we are unaware that we're actually like, we're doing it, but we're not doing it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm still conscious that I need to give you quality time.
Yeah.
It's great not to downplay our efforts and our strides. But I think at the same time, I remember there were times where I would intentionally decline a gig
to be
a
with.
Shoot
yeah.
so that I could be just spend just those few hours with my son. Or I would, if I had like a Friday free and like an email comes in, do you want to shoot this? And I'm like, damn, like I'm going to go fetch my son early from school so that we could just hang.
Yeah.
Like Whether I get that shoot or I don't, I know this. It sounds like a luxury. It sounds like nice life.
Yeah, it sounds like life problems. You can choose your work or not.
It's contextually, it just changes from person to person. But like, that was my dynamic. I was just like, look, I don't want to just be a provider for this guy. Yeah. I need for him to understand that I will intentionally cut things out
for him
so that he understands that he's a priority. Because time is a thing.
You're never really in control of what happens, man. No. You might not be living forever, but you know, just teach them what you can right now, and spend as much time with them as you can right now, so that they learn as much as they can from you, because that kind of helps shape them into who they're going to be. Because you know, if you have an expressive child or a child who like likes to do things, and you help them with that kind of helps build their confidence, because dad is always there, you know. Dad is always teaching me how to do 1, 2, 3, and I feel like that's how you're going to create your relationship with your kids. You know, we should be taking time, we should be making our kids priorities in everything we do, to be honest.
Yeah,
because you know, you never really learn love until you have a child, which is literally like the personification of love. Because when my son was born, I thought I loved his mom. Like, you know, I'm like, yes, I love this person, and I don't think I love anyone more than this person. And my son is born, and you know, he now becomes
they sit differently, they take a different seat.
It makes you shake. Like, even inside now, I'm getting excited just talking about him. And it's like, you know, that's what you know. Like, you really know love. And you can't explain it. You don't understand how this person, like, you can't explain how you love them.
I feel you, bro.
It's confusing, but you like, it's an exciting feeling when you see this little person, like when you first hold them and you're like, damn, this is love.
Sure.
This is what it feels like to really love a person.
While you're still in that emotional state, bro. One question, bro. Yeah. It's like, how, like, you know where we are now.
Yeah.
In our country, just where the world is.
Yeah.
All the dynamics, negative and positive. Like, as a dad,
yeah,
you know, raising your son now, like, how do you feel like you'd want to raise him to be a better man? Look, in our society now?
I think, you know, with everything that has gone wrong, the biggest thing, you know, one of the things that I've been teaching him is learn. You know, he's kind of like a physical child, right? And sometimes he gets physical, and I'm like, bro, you shouldn't be fighting. Firstly, you shouldn't be fighting with people. Learn to speak. You know, that's one of the things that I've taught him. I remember two, three weeks ago. No, that's a bit longer than that. I was taking him to school, and one of the things he was scared of is his workbooks. You know, and he's like, no, I don't want to do my workbooks because I'm bad at it. I'm like, bro, you have a teacher who should be helping you with that stuff, you know. And it's that mentality of, you know, when we're in school, we don't ask questions because we fear being judged. And what I'm trying to teach him as well is, when you're in that space, you should be asking and pester, because that's the only way to learn. Don't fear being judged because you don't understand things. Uh-huh. And don't say you understand things when you don't understand things, because later on it catches up with you.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand things, ask. You need to learn. You know, people are there to help you. Because, you know, when we were in high school, I made the example to him, like, even though he might not understand it, I said, you know, when you get older, you stop asking questions in class because you feel like everybody's going to look at you like you don't understand and you feel stupid. But you should be asking these now.
Yeah.
You know, just so you understand.
Put the fear aside. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. You know, I think I'm a very prideful person, and my son kind of takes from me now and again, but I don't want him to be as prideful as me. You know, I want him to learn as openly as possible, you know, and don't be afraid to fail, because if you fail, that's when you learn a lot more. You know, there's certain things I'm trying to teach him to be a different person than to who I am, but still be as great as I am.
Ooh. As great as I am. Did you hear that? I completely feel you on that. Like, I mean, for me, like with my son, it's like, on my dynamic. It's like when you said, like, he's a physical boy and he's like, you don't have to fight and you don't have to do these things. I remember, like, with my son, because he's the oldest and he has younger sisters, his thing is like, he has these weird, like, it's playground talk, but he has these things of like, no, she's a girl, so she's not as strong, or this color, only girls wear this, or only boys like these colors. And I'm like, and so you kind of have to be conscious when he's saying those things, because, like, understand that as he grows, he starts having these attitudes, like patriarchy and weird stuff developing over time. It starts somewhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember, like, I told him, it was a debate. We actually, like, had it. Like, he actually, like, he was fighting me. I'm like, bro, like, I'm like, girls, she's strong.
Yes.
Just because you're bigger doesn't mean
you're stronger.
And then he's like, no, but, like, I'm a boy. And he's innocent. Like, he's not saying it like as a whatever. Like, he's 4 years old. He doesn't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had to, like, explain to him, like, what it means and everything.
Yeah.
In the midst, and he's in the presence of his sisters. And, like, I have to also play the dynamic of, like, tell the little girls as well
that
you are not weaker.
Yeah.
And affirm that, so that they also aware that the dynamic isn't shifted to, like, boys are stronger, girls are weaker, girls only like pink, boys only like black, whatever. Yeah. So, like, I think as well for me, it's like, that's the dynamic that I'm trying to, like, be aware of, is like how you think about people around you matters.
Yeah. And it's where it comes from, you know, with all of us. And that's what I'm saying, you know, fathers being present is where it is, you know, that is where fatherhood is, not just providing, because that's where you learn, you know, the separation when the conversation you just explained now, it's like, now he knows that as a boy, yes, I might think I'm stronger than girls, but girls are also strong. Mm. So I shouldn't be looking at them like they're weaker than me, you know, and it kind of places him in a place where he looks at it differently. But, you know, the only problem is you doing this by yourself. The rest of society is saying that, you know,
they are,
boys are stronger, you know, girls are weaker. And it's not like that, because that's how we end up with all these problems that we have today, because men feel like, you know, women should respect me because I am the man and, you know, she should bow down to me or whatever. And that's not how it should be.
But that's what they see at home.
Yeah. That's where it comes from.
Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like, because it starts at home.
Yes.
That's where the voice and that's where the kind of like the foundation needs to start.
Yeah.
Bro, this was great, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
I actually like, I know a bit more now. I know a bit more. Yeah. Okay, bro.
Thank you very much.
This was fire, bro. All right, bro.
Son of a Son, a podcast about how being better men can help us raise better kids. # Son of a Son.
This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.